Hey, welcome to the Napcast. My name is David.
And my name is Seth.
And today we're going to be talking about, I believe, Greek mythology, a topic that both Seth and I know fairly well. We're a little rusty, so we have our devices handy just in case we can't remember names or specific stories, or if we have conflicting memories.
Also a good thing.
All right. And another news, I myself am a little bit sick. My voice has gone down the drain. So
just in case you hadn't noticed already.
If it's not overly evident, I do have a little bit of a deeper voice for this episode, which is a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it, but it's also not the most healthy. So I do have water with me as well, and so does Seth, just in case. So, all right, we'll launch right into Greek mythology. Seth, just to start things off, who would you say your favorite character was of all the stories in Greek mythology?
Ooh, who's my favorite character?
A very, very easy question right out of the gate. That was sarcasm.
Yeah, apparently. One of my favorite characters, just as a kid, I didn't really understand him, but then the older I've gotten and the more I've thought about it, the cooler he gets, is Hephaestus.
Ooh, the guy that does all the forging of
the
metals and everything.
The forging of all of the gods' armor.
He's also crippled, the one who, I believe.
Something like that.
He fell from a mountain or something like that. He disfigured. Yeah. I don't remember.
He's also the one that crafts Zeus's lightning bolts.
Oh, that's right. And in Percy Jackson, they had the main lightning bolt, whatever that thing was called.
Yeah.
What's the actual name of that?
Oh, I can't remember.
The Master Bolt? Is that what it was?
Something like that.
Something like that. Percy Jackson has got a nice little twist on Greek mythology. It did pretty well, if you already understood Greek mythology.
Yeah.
But as a story series kind of by itself, it wasn't the greatest. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't my favorite, I'd say.
And then the comment war starts.
Oh, boy. wait, comments come back. Oh, shoot.
Oh, no.
So Hephaestus works in the forges. He was the god of, was it just armors and crafts and things like that? Or did he have another specific title?
I don't remember, actually.
Hephaestus is the Greek god of blacksmiths, metalworking, carpenters, craftsmen, artisans, sculptors, metallurgy, fire, etc., etc., etc. So his symbol, hammer, anvil, tongs, and a volcano, which that makes sense. I believe they thought that he resided in the volcanoes because that makes for a great forge or something like that.
That would also make sense because his Roman equivalent is Vulcan.
Well, yep, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a very cool character. He doesn't do very much other than just kind of hang out in a volcano. And didn't he have a wife that was like always cheating on him or something like that?
No, that's Zeus. Or no,
that was Zeus.
That is Zeus. Zeus cheats on his wife constantly.
Right, but who was Hephaestus's significant other?
Well,
I feel like he had one.
Hephaestus was the son of Zeus and Hera, so.
Well, it says here consort was Epaphrodite, which that sounds right, I think. But to be honest, that would make sense because Epaphrodite was, you know, messing around with everybody else, being the goddess of love herself.
Well, that's
I think.
Aphrodite.
Epaphrodite? Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Oh, it is Aphrodite. I pronounced it wrong.
Oh.
My apologies. So it's Aphrodite. That is correct.
We clearly know what we're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I know all of the like ancient stories and everything. One of my favorite characters from one of the older stories is actually Jason.
Really?
Jason and the Argonauts, you know? They had that whole like adventure where they were on the ship to Argo, and they went through all these obstacles and trials and everything.
It's almost like a short version of the Odyssey.
It kind of is, actually. I feel like don't they mention like Jason and the Argonauts in the Odyssey somewhere?
Yes,
like, isn't that brought up? I believe Homer referenced it. I don't remember. I did read the Odyssey just last year, which that was a fun read. I enjoyed the book. It was kind of a long
read. It's great.
Read.
It's very long, but it is good.
It was definitely an easier read than Paradise Lost.
Oh. Let's not go there.
That might be a different episode, or it might not be. We'll see what happens. No, but in the Odyssey, I believe it was Homer, he was off stranded fighting the war, the Battle of Troy, or things like that, and then he's working his way home, and because they didn't really have good ships back then that could sail where they wanted them to go directly, they were kind of at the whim of the sea itself, the Mediterranean Sea. So the Mediterranean Sea doesn't really always flow in a straight line, at all.
The sea was not kind.
It flows around in circles, but in the story itself, it was all the gods and goddesses being angered or something like that. So Odysseus, there we go, was beset with all kinds of trials and tribulations and things like that. And I think, did he run into that one Cyclops who pretended to be nobody to get away from him?
Yes, that was Odysseus. That was a fun little story. They were trapped in the cave with a Cyclops who was guarding the entrance. And so when the giant was asleep or something, Odysseus took a tree trunk and sharpened the point and stabbed the Cyclops in the eye.
Blinding him effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Or effectively blinding him. It was effective.
It was effective.
He used sharpened a tree trunk. It was very effective. Critical hit. Okay. I see what we did there. Okay. Anyways, so the guy was blinded. He was like, wait a minute, who attacked me? Like, nobody. Nobody attacked me. That's right. It was nobody. And so then later when he was complaining to, I forget he was complaining to somebody, he was like, nobody attacked me and it blinded me. And like, what are you talking about? Clearly no one attacked you. That's what I said. Nobody attacked me. And no one listened to him and it was great.
It's like the Abbott and Costello sketch
really
we
does
did
remind
a few
me
weeks
exactly.
ago.
Like, who's on first? Naturally. Naturally?
Naturally. Naturally.
We'll pick up the ball and throw it to Naturally.
No, you throw
don't.
The ball to who?
We just switched parts, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
If you haven't seen or heard that little mini episode or the original sketch from Abbott Costello, you need to check that out if you get the chance. But jumping back to Greek mythology again, another story that I really enjoyed reading about was the story of Perseus, which is actually, that's the namesake that Percy Jackson comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It was Perseus. He was the guy that he had to fight, I believe it was... Oh, shoot. I can't remember her name. The woman with all of the snake hair.
Medusa.
Medusa. There we go. I was really close. I was thinking the words Methuselah, and I'm like, that can't be correct. That's a completely different character.
It has a similar sound, but...
Yeah,
no.
I mean, there's an extra syllable in there or something like
there's
that.
There's a few extra syllables.
No, but he had to fight Medusa, and the way, of course, he did so was... spoiler alert, if you don't already know the story, which I don't know why you wouldn't, but he had to fight this character who... The gaze of Medusa would turn you to stone. And so instead of looking at her like and letting her look at him, he looked in his polished shield, used it as a mirror, and he crept up on her facing backwards and managed to cut her head off. And then, of course, the love of his life, I forget her name, was being attacked by some sea monster of some sort. And so he comes in to save the day with his winged boots that he got from Hermes or something like that. And he turns the monster to stone using the head of Medusa. He tells the love of his life, who's chained on some rocks or something, quick, avert your eyes, and then he holds up the head, and fortunately, she looks away, and the monster is turned to stone.
It's interesting, actually, now that you bring up Medusa, because I have just been listening through the Harry Potter series.
On audiobook, I believe.
On
right?
audiobook, yeah. Thanks to Audible. Not a sponsor, unfortunately.
Sadly, not a sponsor at this point, at least at the point that we're recording these episodes. Who knows down the line?
Yeah, maybe. But anyways, I just finished The Chamber of Secrets again. And
the basilisk in there.
Yes, the basilisk. If it looks at you, it will kill you. But if it looks at you
indirectly?
Yes, if it looks at it like a reflection of you, or if you look at it through a reflective surface.
Or through a ghost, even.
Or a ghost, which ghosts are somehow reflective.
They're transparent, so it masks something, I guess.
I guess. But
it's
either
a
way.
Of coincidences, to be honest.
Oh, it's extremely coincidental, but that's a different video altogether.
Of course, which it was a great story. But yeah, slightly less powerful, I guess, than a basilisk is Medusa, or maybe more powerful. I don't know. She was one of the three.
Gorgons,
there we go. I forget what the other two did. Maybe they also turned you to stone, but we don't really get much information about them. They used to be pretty, apparently.
Yeah, they did, and then they ran afoul of Hera.
Everybody runs afoul of Hera at some
point.
A
lot of female characters in the Greek mythos run afoul of Hera, mostly because Zeus is a major womanizer.
Yeah, he doesn't stay faithful to anybody. I mean, he's got Hera, but I mean, he goes around and fools around with basically anybody he can find.
You're pretty.
And that's basically what causes all of the conflict in Greek mythology, is Zeus saying, hey, I'm going to go over and talk to these ladies. No, don't do it. And he's like, I'm going to do it. And he does. And causes a lot of issues here.
Oh, yes.
Speaking
Zeus.
Of which, what do you think of the three main gods, I guess you could say, would be Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades?
I always feel like Hades gets the short end of the stick. I know in the Disney film Hercules...
He's only a little bit bitter about it.
He's only slightly bitter about it.
Enough so that he plots revenge, just a little bitter. Yeah.
So I feel like that was exaggerated a little bit for the film because it needed an antagonist.
Right, which, by the way, he's an amazing antagonist in that movie.
Oh, fantastic.
So
James Woods is just a fantastic actor.
He truly is. Even though you didn't have to act, it was just voice acting.
It's still acting in a sense. I mean,
definitely.
Especially when they take... video of you acting into a microphone and use that to animate your character.
In which case, you have to be an actual actor. You can't just be a voice actor.
Movement is extremely important to conveying energy, but that's another episode altogether. I think I called the last one a video.
Yeah, so one of the things that I really enjoy, like reading about the old stories, is that I always really enjoy like the hidden like stories or like the backstories of characters that you kind of know of, but we don't know all that much about per se.
Yeah.
For example, the character Cronos, which is the father of Poseidon and Zeus and Hades and a bunch of other people as well, I believe. But he gets chopped up by Zeus, who then becomes the ruler of the sky or whatever. But Cronos, like the meaning for that, I think was time.
Cronos is a very interesting character in Greek mythology, actually. Because that's one of the first stories that I ever read as in my explorations of mythology. It was Kronos was a group of gods called the Titans that existed before Zeus and the classical Greek pantheon. And there was a prophecy made to Kronos that one of your children will one day grow up and destroy you.
So he had this bad habit, or good habit, probably bad habit, of eating his children, I believe.
Not recommended by the Napcast.
Definitely not. You heard it here first. Actually, probably not. You should have heard it well before this. But
I hope you heard it before this.
Yeah, so he had this bad habit of eating his kids in order to prevent the prophecy. But surprise, surprise, it didn't prevent the prophecy.
It did not, because his wife gave birth to another boy, and she hid him from Kronos until he was grown, and then the child did grow up and destroy his father and take his place. And that child was Zeus. Yes.
All right. And didn't Kronos have another, like, didn't Kronos himself have a father? I'm trying to remember, because I know, like, the Earth, quote unquote, was Gaia?
Gaia.
I don't remember the pronunciation. G-A-I-A, I think. And the original father of everything was the father of Kronos, I think. But I don't remember who that was.
Oh, apparently Kronos is the name of a film that came out in 1993, but that's not what I'm looking for.
Unfortunately not.
Kronos was the leader of the first generation of Titans. He was also descended from Uranus and Gaia.
There we go. That was who was after. Because I knew they were named, like, in Roman mythology, all of these characters, or a lot of the main ones, get renamed into basically what we know as the planets today.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Pluto is Hades. So, once again, he gets the short end of the stick.
Yep.
Because Pluto is apparently no longer a planet, but, you know, as you do. And then I believe Jupiter and Zeus were basically the same character.
Yes.
Saturn was Poseidon, I think. No, that's not right.
Neptune.
Saturn was Neptune.
No, Neptune was Poseidon.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant to say. All right. Neptune was Poseidon, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mercury was
Hermes.
Hermes. There we go. And Venus was that
Aphrodite?
Aphrodite? Who in the world is Epaphrodite?
I don't know. I think you're just adding an extra syllable to the name Aphrodite.
I know Epaphrodite is a name, but that might be from something else entirely. I'm just getting confused. But Aphrodite was the other name for Venus. And then Earth was Gaia. And then I think Kronos was actually Saturn. I think that was that name.
Yes.
Yes, the Roman equivalent of Kronos is Saturn, which is what I was thinking.
Gotcha.
This is why he was one of the cool characters, because he actually got his own planet, where most of the other ones don't. Like, Apollo doesn't even have a planet. He was just the sun, actually, so that's different.
No.
Artemis was the moon, which is also, what was her name, Diana?
Diana.
Apollo stayed the same, though.
Apollo did stay the same.
Oh, no, he wasn't the sun. He was the sun in Roman, but in the other one, there was actually a different character that was the sun, but Apollo kind of morphed into him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that character.
Well, it's interesting talking about these other names, because that's evidence of the Romans. So when the Romans conquered Greece,
they kind of just adopted the
They
same
did.
Thing.
They really just adopted the pantheons of the Greek culture and changed their names a little bit and made them their own.
They added a few different qualities to some of them here and there. For example, Apollo all of a sudden became the sun god, as well as the god of poetry, as well as the god of, like, archery or something goofy like that. He was an archer, but he wasn't the only god of archery. I think Diana also was, too.
Diana slash Artemis is the goddess of the hunt, traditionally. Athena is the goddess of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't get her own planet. She just kind of...
She doesn't, although I'm not sure which name I prefer her under, because her Romanized name is Minerva.
Which is a great name.
It is a great name, but I also really like the name Athena.
I know. I'm going to have to go with Athena on that one, because I'm far more familiar with it than Minerva, but I do like the name Minerva.
Fair.
It's a great name.
Athena also has one of the more interesting genesis of the Greek gods.
Didn't she burst out of Zeus's head?
Yes. So Athena came into being because Zeus had a headache, and somebody hit him in the head with an axe, and out came Athena.
And that's why she's the goddess of wisdom or something, because Zeus clearly doesn't have any anymore. that was a joke. But yeah, Athena, actually, she also shows up in the Odyssey here and there. She was the counselor to Odysseus, and she may have aided Perseus, which we touched on earlier, when he was out with his endeavors fighting against Medusa and trying to reclaim his love interest, who I honestly don't remember who that was.
I can't recall her name either,
There's a whole
to be
bunch
honest.
Of goofy names.
Well, if we're talking about Greek mythology, there is one story that we absolutely have to talk about, and that's Icarus.
Icarus. Ah, yes, the guy who was the son of the guy who made the maze, I believe, the labyrinth.
Yes.
There we go.
The Daedal- guy who, so Daedalus was an inventor in Greek mythology.
And who, he, not only did he invent the maze, but, well, he didn't put the Minotaur in it, I guess, but somebody did.
Yeah, the, he didn't, yeah, I don't, I think he built the maze around the Minotaur, if memory serves me.
Which, I know he built the labyrinth, and then that became a plot point in somebody else's story.
Yes, that was Theseus.
Yes.
Who I wanted to call Perseus earlier.
No, that's a different character.
That is a totally different character, but they have very similar names.
And then they were, both of them were trying to escape from, I forget what the actual situation was, but they made these wings out of, like, wax and feathers and things like that, which, by the way, doesn't work very well. The Napcast does not endorse making your own wings out of feathers and wax.
I mean, you can do it if you want to. You just won't be able to fly with them.
And we just don't endorse such an activity.
Napcast is not liable for any injury sustained under wax wing-powered flight.
No, but you got to say it epically. The Napcast is not liable for any such injury sustained. Anyways. No, but then, so then when Icarus was flying and he and Daedalus, were flying away, Icarus flew too high because he was having a lot of fun with it and his wings melted and he died in the sea, which
because
the moral
he
of the story
too
is,
close to the sun.
The moral of the story is don't fly too high on your own wings. Wait, that's not right. Something goofy like that. No, but, another thought that I had is that in the Percy Jackson book series, which, I mean, while they're not always faithful, or oftentimes they take their own creative license on things, I think it was the fourth book in the trilogy. No, sorry, I think it was the fourth book in the like the first series, the original series, that touched on the labyrinth and had the plot point that Daedalus was actually still alive.
Interesting.
Which I'm not going to say much about that because that would spoil the specific story. So while I do want to mention some spoiler territory, spoilers ahead for Percy Jackson if you're worried about such things.
Much spoilers.
So, but in, I think it was the fourth book, they figured out that you could actually go into the labyrinth, which was like a magical labyrinth where the sort of thing where, I mean, if you were down there, you could be down there for like 5 minutes and there'd be like 5 hours that passed up ahead. Not like a one-to-one ratio there, but it was something very goofy like that where Percy like fell in, and then we came back out like a minute later. It was nighttime, and everyone was like, "Where'd you go?" And he's like, "Well, I just kind of fell down here, and I came right back up and whatnot." And so then they figured out they could use the labyrinth to get around. They came across a guy whose name I think was Quintus or something like that. Quentin. It was a Quint was the prefix in the name. You could tell that means five, which becomes the plot point towards the end when you realize that that's actually a mechanical body for Daedalus, and that was his fifth incarnation, where he had been cheating death by making, like, automatons.
Well, there you go.
And he was moving his soul around between them or something goofy like that. I don't remember. and, of course, at the end of this book, because the heroes are the main characters, they finally get this guy to go to rest, and then he gets to build overpasses down in Hades or something goofy like
oh,
that.
Oh, jeez.
Like, that was part of the story. That's towards the very end of the story, of course. But I loved the way that they had the labyrinth in there and how they like incorporated it into the plot and still had Daedalus in there.
Yeah.
So they tell the story, some of the story from his point of view. Like they talked about Icarus and had Daedalus tell it. And of course, it wasn't truly faithful to what actually happened. But in the story, it worked very well. And I actually enjoyed reading that part of it. I liked that part of the book. All right, so we're going to go ahead and wrap things up here. So, unfortunately, my singing voice is kind of shot, so I'm going to have to sing a very low note, probably something around here, you know, maybe an F sharp. Here, G, F, E, D. How's that for a low note?
That is low note. I cannot sing that right now.
All right, well, I'm going to have to because I can't really go much higher than most of those notes. Like, my voice, if I try to get up even to middle C, it's gone. It just doesn't work. which, of course, I proved to Seth off microphone.
Yep.
So you're just going to have to take my word for it because I don't want to try that right now. So
yeah,
we're going to
pick. Let's spare the listeners at home.
We'll choose a random note. Seth, what are you feeling right now?
I'm actually feeling an F sharp today.
All right. That seems like a good note. So I'll sing the low F sharp. Do you want to sing maybe the fifth?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and sing that. We're going to try to sing goodbye, and it's going to be a really low one because I'm sick, because that's how things go. So, ready?
Goodbye.